This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On Joy.
Top of 13 today, currently sitting at 8. So cold. With Fiona Patton, though, she's going to warm us up with the news of politics. What's happening?
Yes, it's all warm and fluffy up in politics. There's nothing cold and
all love,
you know, deliberate and nasty. No, it's all good up there.
I thought everything looked like it's going quite well up there at the moment. I mean, no one's throwing anything or attacking anybody?
Yes.
No. That's right. Yet. No, it is interesting. It actually, I don't think we could say there's been bipartisan support for March, and there was a bit of screeching yesterday. But certainly when my motion was debated yesterday, yeah, you could feel the love. It really felt like we'd all taken the peace pipe.
Excellent. So what is the motion that you put up into the Victorian Parliament yesterday that got passed?
It got passed, and I don't think that I imagined that in my first year of the second term that we would get this up. So it is a very fulsome inquiry into cannabis and the laws that surround it, the health provision around it, the education around it. And we were posing the quite simple question, and I think we've said it here, how do you keep cannabis away from children and criminals?
Yes.
Cannabis is worth $8 billion in Victoria, according to the police.
So somebody illegally has got $8 billion a year?
So, yes, I don't think it's just one person.
Oh, no, not one, but I mean as in an illegal...
Illegal syndicates are making what the police estimate is around $8.1 billion from cannabis, and they say in any one day there will be over 1,000 hothouses around the state.
For those of me out there, what's a hothouse?
Yes.
Do we need to go into that? Is that a thing?
Well, a hothouse is where they rent a property and put in a whole bunch of hydroponics. Apparently, a number of them are now turning to solar. Actually are getting sort of real green coming out of it. But
because once that's how the police could investigate through the electricity company, they go and look for people whose electricity would spike that is not normal for the size of the house, and they could say, they might be misbehaving.
But it was really interesting. We had a fellow called Stuart Grimley, who's a new member of Parliament, and he was a police officer up until he was elected. And he said, look, we go into these hot houses, we break down the doors, we take the cannabis. There's probably, you know, a woman there who's got a gambling problem or a young international student there. It's completely futile.
So they're the ones that they don't own the marijuana. They're just there to watch it, probably paid pittance.
That's right.
Threatened, and they're the ones that will go. But the kingpin who's sitting in his, probably sitting in his two-rack mansion somewhere with his Rolls Royce is getting away.
He's walking away.
We've learnt this years ago. The war on drugs hasn't worked.
That's right.
Drug taking hasn't decreased. People are still dying from drugs.
It hasn't, but now with a new bill part. Bill?
Is it? No, it's just an inquiry at this stage.
Yeah.
But what we've seen in other jurisdictions is when you do regulate it, when you do educate people about the dangers of it or the harms and risks that any illicit, any drug places, you do find people are more careful and they might take less, and certainly yet less young people get access to it.
Okay.
Because fun fact, twice as many young people in Victoria use cannabis than use tobacco. So 22% of young Victorians regularly use tobacco compared to 10% regularly using tobacco.
Which is a strange statistic.
Isn't it?
But then does that show that our education on not smoking has worked on the younger generation? So then it's exactly what you're saying. Even if the state government taxed that amount of money,
right.
I mean, look what we're doing. We're worried about losing houses aren't being built. We're not getting as much tax up there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tax. As long as the money then goes back into health, education.
Absolutely.
It's not to go into the pocket so you can go use that money to actually educate And hell, I mean...
That's right. And that's what a lot of jurisdictions do. They tag that money that goes into special funds to do that. And it was really interesting with the debate. Like, there was 39 people in there, 27 of them supported doing something different.
Yeah.
And I think even the ones that didn't support the motion didn't believe that what we're doing now is working. So I think for everybody who has a different view on cannabis, what we all unanimously agree is what we're doing now isn't working.
Okay.
So the inquiry is going off now. They've got to be back by 2020.
That's right.
So they'll be coming back to with recommendations. Now, I want to know who gets put on these committees. I mean, what's the use of having another parliamentarian up there? Is it people that actually work in the industry, like doctors, people who actually might work for drug and alcohol counselling services? Are they the ones that get put on these inquiries?
What happens is we have 7 or 8 MPs who are on the committee.
Yeah.
But then we open it up to submissions, and then we have public inquiries, and all the experts come in and give us their advice, give us the evidence, provide the research, and really educate us about the situation and about their recommendations. So, for example, I know we've talked about spent convictions before.
Yes.
So last night we had our first public hearing, and we had the Law Institute of Victoria in and the Victorian Police in. So they come and educate the MPs about the legislation and about what changes are needed. So we will see the same in this inquiry. I hope also we get lots of people who smoke or take cannabis or use cannabis in one way. I hope that we hear from individuals as well.
But people are still scared. I mean, it's still illegal. It can affect your job.
If you've got
children, the last thing you want is someone
at
the school
cafeteria
pointing out and going, oh, you know, their parents smoke pot, you know, like, it, yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, sometimes I kind of feel like some of us need to come out of the closet, as it were, around drug use, so we can change the face of what people think drug users are.
Correct.
That we're not just the sort of homeless people in the street who are, you know, trying to score. That it's professionals, it's lawyers, it's surgeons, it's a whole range of, it's radio hosts, it's a whole range of people who might use drugs that aren't within the law. However, of course, we respect people's privacy. So anyone who wanted to make a private submission, they would be very welcome, and we would respect that enormously. And in fact, I think it would be great to hear from those people.
Now, post-inquiry, does that lead to the legalisation of marijuana? Is that full legalisation like with cigarettes? How does that work?
It's a really good question, and it was really interesting. So the first motion I put up was actually that. I just said, look what Canada's doing, let's do that.
Yep.
And then as I reflected on that over the last few months and spoke to my colleagues in Parliament, I realised that that was actually pretty narrow, that why don't we have a broader conversation around cannabis, around the illegal industry that's established, around the health and safety concerns of cannabis, and then see what comes out of that. But if you listen to the debate yesterday, I would say that most of the speakers spoke about legalisation.
Okay.
Spoke about how that would regulate the market, how that would bring income into the state that could be put back into education, that could be put back into building up resilience in our young people so drug use didn't become problematic.
So full legalisation, we're talking not just medicinal.
So if you were to look at if you were to look at somewhere like Canada, where they have completely regulated it in a not dissimilar way to alcohol.
Yeah.
But with far tighter controls on advertising. You know, there's lessons learned from alcohol and tobacco that if we did go down that path, we wouldn't repeat those mistakes.
Yes, we don't want our cricket guy standing out the front saying, oh, look at that, I've rolled up and have a smoke, so where children are watching that, which is what we did through our cigarette commercials and alcohol commercials when we grew up.
That's exactly right. And I think that's what the First Amendment in America kind of prevents governments from being really controlled about advertising and about the way a product is promoted. But looking at jurisdictions like Canada, you can see a much more moderate approach. And New Zealand's having a referendum next year, and from all accounts, it they will legalise cannabis next year.
I think it might be time that we join that little island in Australia together and we'll just let her take over for a while. I mean, let's be honest.
I've had this plan, like, you know, all right, Queensland can go on their own way.
Queensland. Yeah. That's right, good idea. We'll take New Zealand.
And we'll take New Zealand, and I thought we could buy Tasmania.
Yeah.
And we'd have, you know...
You and Tom are a perfect fit for each other. Thank you so much for coming.
We're going to rule the world, Fiona.
One day.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.